Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. The busy sea lanes of the Persian Gulf are becoming more treacherous. There was confirmation this morning that two crewmen aboard a Panamanian-registered ship were killed when it was hit and sunk Tuesday by Iraqi missiles. Iraq claims it struck another tanker today. And as Alan Pizzi reports, into these waters is sailing yet another U.S. Navy-protected convoy.
Three U.S. flagged tankers have left Kuwait on their way out of the Gulf. They should pass Iran's Parsi Island today. The convoy is heading into a troubled sea. Seven vessels have been hit by the Iranians in a round of reprisals for Iraqi attacks. Officials in Tehran said reprisals would continue blow by blow in a calculated way. Early today, a Japanese tanker was attacked, and there were reports that two crewmen were injured when a freighter was strafed off Bahrain. They were the first known casualties of the present round of attacks. The only safe ships right now appear to be those escorted by naval vessels. The Gulf sea lanes are still open and operating, but those using them now do so with caution and reluctance. Alan Pizzi, CBS News, in the Gulf.
UPI reports U.S. AWACS radar planes are secretly providing intelligence to Iraq on Iranian targets in the Gulf. The administration denies helping Iraq. At the Moscow trial of Matthias Rust, the prosecutor today demanded a sentence of 14 years at hard labor for the young West German pilot after witnesses told of being terrified in the moments before Rust made his fateful Red Square landing. Wyatt Andrews reports.
After a day of hearing Rust describe his gesture of peace, today was the day the prosecution described just how dangerous Rust's gesture was. Six witnesses recalled in the morning session to describe how frightened they were to be on Red Square when Rust buzzed overhead. One witness even said Rust flew around Red Square at a height of 3 meters, about 10 feet, over the heads of people strolling there. Much of today's testimony involved the formality of proving the state's case against Rust. Experts were called to point out exactly where Rust violated the Soviet border and precisely how he violated international flight rule, the most serious charge which carries the 10-year prison term. Even though Rust has pleaded guilty, evidence is being taken because the judges, at the end of a Soviet trial, must list all the reasons behind a guilty verdict and any possible prison term. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, Moscow.
Tens of thousands of South Korean workers staged fresh rallies today against Hyundai, the nation's number one exporter, after a striker was killed by a van which plowed into a crowd of employees demanding higher pay. Richard Gurley of the Financial Times says the strikers defied a government ban when they marched in Ulsan.
On Tuesday, a deadline for talks over pay ran out, and that has led to the workers marching into the center of Ulsan. But it does appear that the person who drove this truck could well have been drunk, and that the death was indeed an accident. However, it has inflamed passions in Ulsan and cannot help to bring a quick solution to this problem.
Meanwhile, a ranking member of the government party in South Korea said a North Korean spy has been detained for trying to infiltrate opposition political parties. An army of weary firefighters is continuing to battle hundreds of wildfires in seven western states. Correspondent Terry Drinkwater has been on the Northern California fire lines and files this report.
This morning, firefighters are thanking the heavens that fewer lightning strikes were counted last night and thus fewer new fires started. But there were gusts of wind that spread some of the hundreds of blazes that had already blackened major parts of the rugged Sierra. Dean Case has battled to save his home.
It flares up, it goes down. The wind's got total control right now.
Still, there were pluses to what the wind brought. It blew away the smoke that had prevented aerial tankers from pinpoint dropping of their fire retardant chemicals on the hot spots. Overnight, there were more evacuations, mostly voluntary, and mostly around the town of Tuolumne, which has been threatened again and again. There are now 11,000 men and women on the fire lines, but according to authorities, that is not enough, and many of their numbers are exhausted. Pleas have gone out to all 50 states for more. Terry Drinkwater, CBS News in the Sierra.
Next year, when you fly out of one of the nation's 27 busiest airports, the major airlines will be required to tell you your chances of taking off and landing on time. Robert Shackney reports on the new Transportation Department rule.
Information about each flight, how often it's been on time during the previous month, is to be displayed on ticket counter and travel agency computers and carried in the airline-owned computerized reservation systems. Transportation Secretary Elizabeth Dole says it will help reduce consumer frustration and make passage of new laws dealing with airline delays unnecessary. But congressional critics say the rule is too little and too late. Chairman Norman Mineta of the House Aviation Subcommittee says Congress will move ahead with its own consumer protection bill. He called the administration approach a half-hearted solution with a lack of teeth. Robert Shackney, CBS News, Washington.
An Eastern Express commuter plane was delayed last night on its Lewiston, Maine to Boston flight, but not for a usual reason. In fact, it made an emergency landing in Portland with pilot Henry Dempsey hanging on for dear life after being sucked out of the plane's rear door. He'd gone back to check on a rattling sound, and while he tried to tighten the door, it flew open, sucking him outside. The co-pilot thought Dempsey was a goner, but the pilot had managed to grab a cable and hang on for the 10 minutes it took the co-pilot to put down in Portland. Except for some cuts and bruises, Dempsey was uninjured. The luck of the Irish, perhaps. Authorities in Oregon don't yet know whether to add 6 newly discovered bodies to the 37 women whose deaths have already been attributed to the so-called Green River Killer. We have a report from Mark Sanchez of KOIN-TV, Portland.
Victim number 6 was found in the same brushy undergrowth where the remains of 5 adult women were uncovered earlier in the week. The local medical examiner will soon determine the age and sex of the latest victim in what authorities are calling the largest homicide case ever in this part of rural Oregon. Clackamas County Sheriff's Captain Lonnie Ryan.
Take a one-person homicide and multiply it 6 times, and that's the problem we have. There's just more to do.
Authorities say the victim's dental work is largely intact, so identification may come shortly. In addition, the Green River Task Force in Washington State has an agent assigned to the case. To preserve the crime scene, several investigators will remain around the clock. Searchers are already bringing in plant and insect experts, trying to pinpoint how long the bodies lay in the wilderness. Mark Sanchez for CBS News, Portland.
A Tennessee blood feud turned violent last night in the Meigs County Courthouse in Decatur after a jury found Jerry Allen innocent of murder and assault in a March tavern shooting. A crowd of 200 people went on a rampage trying to get at the jurors and Allen, who dove under a table before deputies hustled him to safety. It took scores of police to end the rioting, in which 2 people were slightly injured and a lot of furniture broken. The county is under a nighttime curfew for the rest of the week, and state troopers have moved in until things cool off. Israeli police today fired tear gas to stop 200 angry aircraft workers from storming into the foreign ministry. They were protesting cancellation of the Lviv jet fighter project. The dollar is mixed overseas, and on Wall Street, the Dow Industrial Average is up 15 points. It's 7:10.